nuts from Caltech. And the title of his talk is The Geometry of Fast CV Sprints. So thank you very much.
It's a pleasure.
So
it would be nice to understand that not about the dynamics of things, what is the counter population strength area. I mean, there is some hope from ATS CFTP respondents, because we know, or there is conjecture that string theory is equivalent to Young-Mills theory on the boundary. And on the Young-Mills theory side, we have a conservative formulation. So perhaps we would get some clues if we learn how to formulate elements for Young-Mills in terms of string degrees of freedom. There's a step in this direction. I will discuss here the interpretation of single trace operators with the large R charge as semi-classical strings in ATS 5 process 5. So we will consider the operators of the form trace of product of many elementary fields of Young-Mills. So those elementary fields will be basically just scalar fields with some derivatives of them. And we will discuss a conjecture saying that there is a limit involving large L, large number of fields, in which the dynamics of the corresponding state is classical and is equivalent as a classical mechanical system to the dynamics of classical strings in ATS 5 process 5. So the talk is based on basically on this many papers on the subject, and including my own papers which I wrote. And I must say that Frolov and Simon were the first to realize that it's possible to relate classical strings to Young-Mills operators. So I will first discuss what Frolov and Simon observed. What was their observation? They considered very special solutions called rigid strings and found that the energy of these rigid strings reproduces the anomalous dimensions of exponent operators on the field theory side. Then I will argue that Frolov-Zeidler solutions are very special examples of much more general class of solutions, which I call speeding strings. The speeding strings are basically classical strings in ATS cross sphere moving very fast. When they approach the velocity of light, the ball shape becomes a null surface. So I will argue that there is a perturbation theory of some sort which allows to construct string bullshit, classical solutions for string bullshit, is perturbations of null surfaces. And moreover, so there is a perturbation theory around the null surfaces, as I call it. And moreover, this perturbation theory around the null surfaces is what corresponds on the ATS side to the Young-Mills perturbation theory. So I will then go to some technicalities. I will classify the null surfaces including, if I have time, and I will describe what happens when you turn off the degree of freedom. And I will argue that this null surfaces has certain internal symmetry, which does not follow from symmetry from ATS cross the sphere, from the conformal symmetry, but this additional internal symmetry. And this internal symmetry plays an important role. I will discuss the role of this symmetry and argue that it corresponds to the length of the corresponding field theory operator. I will discuss this role as a fast degree of freedom. And I will argue that the continuous limit of the spin chain, which arises on the field theory side, can be understood as a Hamiltonian reduction of the classical symmetry ATS process here by this internal symmetry. So I will discuss how this symmetry can be extended from null surfaces to the nearly degenerate extremal surfaces, the fast moving strings. And this U1 has interpretations in angle. Right, as an action variable, and I'll discuss the role of local conserved charges. Then I will discuss the PMN limit. So this U1 is a Hewlett symmetry of classical string. And I will write an explicit expression for this Hewlett symmetry in terms of Palmyre charges. To this, I will need to discuss the PMN limit. So from PMN limit, we'll follow the explicit expression. And finally, I discuss some applications of the action variable. I will argue that anomalous dimension, which is the basic thing which we have on the field theory side, can be actually expressed as an infinite combination of these global charges, upon my charges. This one is formally related to this action variable, allows us to find explicit recognition of this subject. Prabhupada cites them, apparently for no particular reason, considering this so-called rigid strings, just because they wanted to study them as examples of strings, for resolutions in the ideas of five. So these rigid strings are so-called, well, the specific property of rigid strings is that the time evolution can be undone by the symmetries of ideal space. So if you have the profile of the string at time t equals t zero, and the profile of the string at the time t equals t zero is related to the profile of earlier time t equals zero by a certain isometry of ideal space process five. So string really doesn't change its shape, it moves as a full, it's a rigid body. Let me briefly describe well, the simplest examples of the rigid solutions are those sheets which project to the timeline geodesics in ADS5. So all the non-trivial motions in the sphere. To understand the solutions, let us parameterize the sphere by three complex numbers with length square equals that equals 1. This is a standard parameterization of the 5 sphere. The profile of the rigid string is then given by this equation. It's the phases, so dependence on time is for the phases of the string. So you take at initial time, you take a contour, C0 or sigma, and then you just rotate it by phases. And this is a solution only if the initial contour solves certain special differential equations, which are called generalization of the Goldman integrable system. And there should also be a constraint. If you study these equations, you find that, the solutions, this initial contour should be periodic modulo over all phase, so there are certain constraints and initial condition and periodicity condition. And if you look at this equation, you see that so there are three numbers, W1, W2, W3, three frequencies, so to speak. And for each frequencies, you will find that there is a discrete set of periodic modulo over all phase trajectories. So for each triple W1, W2, W3 of three real frequencies, there is a discrete set of rigid string bullshits characterized by those equations at all. So since this is a discrete set, so for each bullshit we can compute the momenta of consider the momenta, you can, instead of parameterizing by W1, W2, W3, you can parameterize by three momenta. You fix CU1 subgroups of SOCs and parameterize the solution by the three momenta. And Kralov and Zetlin computed the energy. So instead of W, you parameterize by J, and then you express energy in terms of J. And they found expression like this, expansion in powers of gamma over J square. And so this looks like Young-Mills perturbative expansion. And indeed, it was available already for the computation of one loop in some of those dimensions on the Young-Mills side, and we found out that this expansion is the condition C1 for exposed to one loop on those dimensions of the theory side. So it was conjectured that this is reproduces perturbative expansion of Young-Mills for particular for those operators in Young-Mills, for energy of those operators in Young-Mills, which are dual to these rigid strings. And those are very special kind of operators which are dual to rigid strings. And what is special about them is that they extremize energy in the center of the given charges. But it turns out that the Frolov-Zeitlin conjecture can be generalized from this special class of operators to a more general class of solutions. So it's not necessary to consider rigid strings, but actually you can consider a much more general class of solutions of classical string Bolshevik theory and formulate the conjecture for them. So I call this spinning strings. Spinning strings are just strings which move very fast, almost with the speed of light, and you make them move very fast uniformly. So there are no points of the string bullshit which move slowly. All the points move uniformly faster and faster. So it's uniform limit, and all the points of the string uniformly approach the speed of light. Well, why, what is the motivation for considering such limit? Well, first of all, on the ADS side, well, The basic observation is that from the BMN paper, we know that on the Young Mills size, the perturbation theory, at least in some sectors, for long operators, is often organized in powers of lambda over A squared. Lambda is a Hoog coupling constant, but A is basically the charge of that grade, or the number of fields under the grades. So lambda over A squared rather than lambda. Now, the hope to compare it to anything on string theory is that for the classical bullshit theory to work, you need lambda much greater than 1, because lambda goes like r to the fourth. You know, we understand string theory more or less only when r is very large in the radius of a clear space. But for the Young-Mills theory to work, you need this perturbative theory parameter much less than 1. So if we need very large n to have the order lambda between two machines. L is the number of, L is basically the engineering dimension, or it's closely related to air charge. Since the operator has air charge, this thing should have very large momentum in the spine. So when L is much greater than square root of lambda, this thing should be moving very fast. In the strict limit, when L equals to infinity for x slash lambda, every point on the strict moves at the speed of light. The string will shift becomes a degenerate surface. And moreover, it's not arbitrary degenerate surface, but it's a special class which are known as smooth surfaces. It turns out that there is a perturbation theory, powers of square root of 1 minus velocity square. And so for constructing the whole sheet of fast moving string as a perturbation, or better to say, resolution of the smooth surface. So smooth surface is kind of an ideal solution. It's on the boundary of the string phase space. Now we can go with boundary sort of to dimension 1. And we can go from the boundary inside the phase space, and there is a perturbation theory which allows us, at least near the boundary, to construct all sheets systematically as perturbation surfaces. So I conjecture that the Young-Mills perturbation theory for a large charge is somehow correspond to this perturbation theory for the round surfaces. Well, let me say a few words about smooth surfaces and degenerate surfaces. Well, first of all, the surface, two-dimensional surface in the space of direction signature is called degenerate if the induced metric is degenerate, if there is a good direction. So the string becomes surely degenerate when it goes very fast, but it's not every degenerate surface can be obtained as a limit of string logic. You need so-called null surfaces. What is the null surface? How it differs from generic, for select null surface on the degenerate surface. So let us consider the equation of motion for string. Let us introduce the coordinates so that metric is proportional to x side plus x side minus. Then in this coordinates, the embedding could be parameterized by the harmonic map x mu. So this is a harmonic equation, equation of motion for string. When the string moves with the speed of light, the surface becomes isotropic, so two null directions start inside it, like this. The side d over x side plus becomes d over x side minus. So this equation becomes d square over d null direction square, x mu equals zero. This equation becomes equation for null geodesics, which means that null directions on the string ball shape becomes null geodesics. So there definition, therefore, null surface is a degenerate surface for which the degenerate directions are null geodesics, not just null curves, but null geodesics. So let us see what kind of null surfaces we have in ADS5 process 5. Well, there are two types of light rays in ADS5 process 5. Light rays is a sequence from the laser. And therefore, there are two types of null surfaces. The first type are null surfaces totally inside ADS5. They extend to the boundary, and they are interesting, but they don't want to discuss them now. The second type of null surfaces are generated by the light rays, which are obtained as a diagonal in the product of the timeline geodesic in ADS and an equator in S5. So here is the classification. The modulus space of null geodesics in ADS5 process 5. The equator of S5 is parameterized by this cassette space, the Grassmannians of two planes in this space. And the same timeline geodesics in its timeline geodesic in ADS is the same as equator in hyperboloids, so it's this cassette space. And then there is one more thing, there is, since particle moves in time, and there is a relative phase. someone should consider this as the trajectory of a massless intensity in the trajectory of massless particle. Then this trajectory is quantified by there is a sort of diagonal in the product of this equator and this equator, and this diagonal has overall shape. So there is the shape of the phase, which is S1. So the model space of Fourier analytics is a U1 bundle over the product of Fourier matrix. Now, we classified light rays. Now, let us classify null surfaces. Null surfaces, roughly speaking, the collection of light rays. What is the collection of light rays? Well, we take collection of light rays, so we take collection of equators on the sphere and equators in AGS. The collection is a map from a circle from S1 to the model space of light rays, modular parameterizations. But an arbitrary collection, that's what I wrote, since it's just the model space of collections of light rays. But the arbitrary collection would not define a null surface. One needs also a degeneracy condition. The degeneracy condition is as follows. If you take arbitrary collection of light rays and take a one-dimensional collection, it will see a surface, but the surface will not be degenerate. And the surface is degenerate. The model space of light rays is the U1 bundle over the product of two plus light. So this U1 bundle has a natural connection. It turns out that for the surface to be null surface, this contour in the space between the model space of light rays should be horizontal except of this connection. So the actual the model space of collection of light rays, but the model space of null surfaces because of this additional condition will be this. There was, in the collection, there was not a phase, but because of the horizontality condition, this phase becomes an overall phase. So you have a space of mass from a circle with a base, which is the product of two Grassmannians. And you have to be able to lift it to the U1 bundle as a horizontal curve. And for that, you need certain integrality condition of this contour. The space had a form, so you fill the contour with a film, and you integrate had a form over the film, you have integer. So the space of certain integral contours is an integrality condition. And there is overall as well, which should play important role. Some overall phase, because when you leave the contour from the base of the bundle to the total space, there is overall one. I want to notice at this point that this cassette can be rewritten. For example, S of 6 over S of 2 cos S of 4 can be written S of 4 over S of 2 cos 2, and this is very handy because it turns out, and I discussed it if I have time, that turning on fermionic degrees of freedom becomes the product of these two cassettes being used together in the super cassette, which is so PS2 is super conformal group, of course. And the denominator is, what is it? It is a familiar thing. It is a stabilizer of the DM environment. So this can be interpreted as invading of complex planes of signature 2 slash 2 into complex plane of signature 4 slash 4, so a super Grassmannian. The super Grassmannian also called the future cube in the, it's a future cube in the complex plane of positive space. It's a super future cube. Or it's also called 42 analytic superspace. Anyway, you see that the model space of supersymmetric neutrons is space of integral mass from integral contours in the super Grassmannian modular parameterization and with some strange fiber. Now let us compare it to the model space to what we know about operators on the Young-Mills side. I want to conjecture that the null surfaces correspond to the long operators in the free Young-Mills theory, which are locally half DPS, so which are locally DPMM. But the direction which they. So, yeah, I will see on the next transparency that the model space of such operators is in the continuous limit, is the space of mass from a circle into Grassmannian. I will demonstrate momentarily, but now I want to show you the difference. The model space of null surfaces, first of all, it has this S1, the fiber, and also it's defined modular parameterization. It's just a null surface does not have a priori parameterization. But in fact, this fiber is the degree of freedom dual to the length of the operator or to the engineering dimension as it starts. So this S1 is sort of for the role phase of the operator, and the operator should be discarding it. And I will explain more or less in the rest of the talk how to properly discard, how to properly dispose of this S1, which is necessary because this S1 responds just for the role phase of the operator. You don't really see it on the classical string side. And on the other hand, there is actually a null surface. When you look at them as being limits of spin bullshit, they have a natural parameterization of light rays. So the light rays are actually enumerated. And the way they are enumerated, there is again a conserved charge which generates this one. And this conserved charge, I will argue, will correspond to number of elementary fields under the rays. And the density of this charge would allow you to parameterize the null surface. And the moves in the model of S1. So, and let me briefly explain why you have this concept on the field service side. So, we consider these long operators, right? The product of very elementary fields. But it's convenient to consider instead of operators the corresponding states on our process 3. So, the one particle state, that's each elementary operator corresponds to all particles. So for at least for one loop, we can consider particles one particle states. So this one particle states for in the free theory. So these are particles are waves of the free theory. So the one particle states form a single logarithmic combination of the superconformal group. So this is a super single representation of the super conformal group, and then you can argue that we should define some subclass of one particle states which are known as coherent states. And the coherent states are the orbit after the super conformal group of this particular state, which is the thing that we call zero is a vacuum on the screen. Now we take a complex combination of two scalars of your fields and take a zero harmonic on a string, and so act by creation operator of the vacuum. And then, also the simplest coherent state, but then we act side one by the super conformal group, and the coherent states are defined as the work side one by the action of the super conformal group. Now, the stabilizer of side one is, of course, the stabilizer of the DMM vacuum. So the coherent states are parameterized by the cassette space G over H. This is G, super conformal group, and H is this, which we already seen with cassette space. That's what I thought we need. So super tau super Grassmannian. So each psi G is parameterized. G is parameterized by the point of the super Grassmannian. We need a chain of the states. So we need a chain, so we need L points in the super Grassmannian, but so the conjecture is that in the continuous limit they should form a continuous contour, and so there is a classical theory when A goes to infinity and lambda over A square finite but small. It is kind of a small parameter of the perturbation theory, and then this collection of points in the Grassmannian becomes a smooth contour, and we get a classical mechanics of the space of contour in the Grassmannian. This is very hard in many ways to justify this conjecture to prove. First of all, because we need to, for example, it's very hard to prove that the perturbation theory of Young Mills really can be organized with powers of lambda over A square. But even if you are able to prove this hard technical lemma, I think there will be also very many subtleties in taking the classical limit, because taking classical limit of quantum system is a very difficult thing to do. So this is a hint or conjecture, but we don't have full proof of it. But that appears to be true. And of course, the sort of physical meaning of this conjecture is that you have a PMN vacuum. This are this classical state describes long wavelength excitation of this PMN vacuum. And the post of Kuczynski, Martin Kuczynski, proposed to put forward this conjecture, although in less. Uh, So, yeah, important thing is that we have to understand that the Young-Mills perturbation theory has a sequence engineering dimension. Well, in the trivial theory, we possibly parameterize single trace separators by the words of all of the letters, the elementary fields. But with the interactions, we cannot parameterize states by such elementary field because there is no conformal invariant regularization. So, we will need normalization to produce it's not directly possible to parameterize operators by change to elementary fields. But nevertheless, after interpolation, we have a space of states with the action of the superconformal group. And in the classical limit, by the way, what we will get is a classical phase, which is a symplectic manifold with the action of the superconformal group. But if we construct a space of states in the perturbations, we should be at least able to say what is the engineering dimension of the corresponding operator. We don't know how precisely it's constructed of letters because of mixes. But operators only mix among the states with the same engineering dimension of the perturbations theory. So we should be able to say what is the engineering dimension of a state. What can we say about engineering dimension in the classical limit when the space of state becomes a symplectic manifold of phase space? It is a subtle issue. Let us first consider the operators which do not have any derivatives. Operators composed only of scalars. The Renard group would mix such operators with the operators containing derivatives, but not in the continuous limit. In the continuous limit, the long operators composed of purely scalar elementary fields will only mix among themselves, and the derivatives of the spinor field will not appear. Nobody proven this, but people looked at one group. John Minahan was verified as one group. There is a belief that this is the case. I think it's roughly as hard to prove as that the perturbation theory is organized around the Lorentz square. But if we conjecture that, we will see that in the purely scalar sector, in the continuous limit, the engineering dimension coincides the length, number of elementary fields under the trace. Now, the purely scalar operators correspond to the classical spin which projects to a single time-like gradation in DS5, all the non-trivial motion is 5. But the most general classical spins have non-trivial projections to a DS5. They correspond to operators which involve the derivatives of the elementary field. And in fact, have hidden superpositions of main derivatives. So this state which corresponds to generic classical spin in DS5, they don't have a definite generic dimension. But I would like to conjecture that it should have a definite length, the number of elementary fields under the trace. And part of the motivation is that I will see that there is a corresponding conserved charge on the string fabric. So let me proceed to this charge. The charge corresponding to the length of the operator on the string fabric. Let us first consider null surfaces. As I already mentioned, they have a hidden or internally one symmetry. The symmetry is, however, very easy to understand. Remember, the symmetry does not act on the AGS part of the system, only touches S5 part. S5 part is a collection of the equators of the sphere. It's a family of equators. Now, in fact, it's a family of equators with a point on each equator. That's where the massless particles are taken. But so let us move every point by the same angle of the equator. And this would give you one symmetry because of the periodicity of the equator. So this is the contour of the spin. Not the spin. But if you just move it along, you know what is the velocity at each point. So if I move in the direction of the velocity, I get a new spin. And this changes shape. It's not quite a trivial symmetry. But nevertheless, it's very easy to see that the moon surface remains moon surface at this shape. And the symmetry will probably one day. Because I will argue that it corresponds to the, it sort of corresponds to the phase of the separator. So I will show that there is a unique extension of this U1K, which I defined on the moon surface, but I show that there is an extension to the spin phase space. at least for the past 100 years, but actually for all of us, it's a charge of the one that responds to land divided by the square root of gamma on the side. And the action is defined by the characteristic properties. It should preserve objective structure of the screen phase space, it should have different properties. It should commute with the superconformal loop. And it should act on the loop surfaces as we described. And does not change the projection of the whole chip on the PDF file. So I will construct this U1A, and after I construct it, I will formulate a conjecture about the equivalence between string theory and how string change is related to string theory. And the conjecture will be that I have to consider the reduced phase space. I consider the phase space of classical string on the NDS process, and I reduce it by this U1A. And this should be equivalent to the space. It's a phase space of classical single grade state. It's continuous spin change. The phase space is a continuous spin change with the atmosphere. This equivalence is supposed to compute with the action of the superconformal loop. And again, the Young-Hilbert perturbation theory responds to the perturbation theory is the root of 1 minus k b squared. It's a conjecture of the conjecture involves U1. Now, why do we need this U1 to make a. So, what is the meaning of string chain? Our string, remember, moves very fast. And then the string chain, the evolution is of the order lambda over a square. But the fast motion of the string sort of corresponds to overall phase of the iterator. It corresponds to engineering dimension. To get to read out the string chain, we need to subtract engineering dimension. So what do we do? The string moves very fast, almost at the speed of light. So when time of the order one passes, the string trajectory of the string, so to speak, in the phase space. The trajectory traverses the distance of order one. But it turns out that the trajectory of the string in the phase space is almost parallel to the orbits of U1A. It's almost follows the orbit. The deviation of the orbit accumulates very slowly. So if we identify the points of each orbit, which will somehow respond from the Young-Mill side to considering the iterator model of overall phase. Then, if you identify the points of each orbit, then the evolution of the space of orbits will be also on the lambda over a square. And this evolution of the space of orbits is what should depend on the spin chain for given them. So, I will explain to you how to construct U1A. And then what we should do is, and then one should rewrite string theory in terms of variables invariant of the string, and this would be in the form of a string chain. It was verified as well. So, first of all, let me explain how to construct this hidden symmetry in the perturbation theory around loop surfaces. For this, I don't need to introduce an interesting thing, the first Palmyre charge. Palmyre charges are a manifestation of the integrability of the ADS5 process file, but the first Palmyre charge does not require any integrability. All it requires is that the target space is a product of two manifolds. In our example, A is the ADS5, S is S5, but it can be any product of any two manifolds. Then the first Palmyre charge is a following expression. So we introduce this coordinate tau plus tau minus, so the metric is proportional to tau plus tau minus. And then we consider the contour integral over the tau plus of xs is the projection of the string sphere into S, second manifold. We can do similar thing for A, but it would be related by the cross-over perspective. So we use these three things because if the manifold was not split, the expression would change because of the crossover aspect, and if you take the projection only on S, then you get an integral transfer of charge. And it depends also on the right of left division for my charge, it depends also on the right of my charge. Uh, The thing which we find useful about this Faulkner charge for our particular problem is that it generates periodic projectors on the null surface, and in fact, it looks how it acts, how the Hamiltonian of U1 acts on the phase space. It simply generates our friend U1A on the null surface. So on the boundary of the phase space, the flow of Q1 becomes this U1 chain. Discussed already. And also, it's nice, of course, that Q1 I'm used to Terasora out of the expected. So, this that it generates Q1 is useful and it will allow us to use Q1 as a tool for extending Q1 from the two surfaces to faster extremes. So, this is the deformation theory for starting Q1A. Let M be the phase space of the classical string in ADS 5 process 5. It is the space of embeddings into ADS, into sphere, with the Virasoro constraints, specifying equations of motion, which are this gauge for much less. Modulo conformal recurrentization. There is a natural symplectic motion following contraction. We want to construct certain U1 sphere of this phase space. I will introduce another phase space, much larger one, which consists M hat, which consists of the embeddings without the Virasoro constraints, just harmonic maps. Just harmonic maps, but forget the Virasoro constraints. On this larger space M hat, I will define certain function K, some function of the phase space, it's a function. I define it the following way, a fixed contour tau equals zero and integrate the ADS, the sphere component of the velocity around this contour. Now it's very easy to see that the Hamiltonian vector field generated by K is manifestly periodic. It's sort of each point on the screen just moves along its own velocity with shifts. So this is a string in S5. This charge acts only on the S5 part of the string. So each point of the string has velocity. So the Hamiltonian flow of this function will just shift you every point on the string along in the direction of its velocity, but with unit by unit angle. So this charge manifests the periodic. So the only bad thing is that it does not respect the Virasoro constraints at all. Does not respect the Virasoro constraints. So the idea of the construction is that we start with this charge and then conservatively try to modify it so the modified charge commutes with the Virasoro constraint. And the modified charge will then descend on the model space of the phase space of steam and in the Hamiltonian which we are looking for. It turns out also this K. K is not an involution with the Virasoro constraints, but there is, it turns out, the canonical transformation from M hat to M hat, such that the canonically transformed K is in the involution with the Virasoro constraint. And so this canonically transformed K will be the generator which we are looking for. And the first Faulmeier charge is useful for constructing such a canonical transformation. And it's useful because it's used in the following way. Notice that our charge K, our tentative charge, does not commute not only with the Virasoro constraint, but it does not commute also with the first Faulmeier charge. Then I want to say that if I find a canonical transformation such that canonically transformed K commutes with the Faulmeier charge, then we'll also, from this, will follow that the transformed charge also commutes with the Virasoro. Therefore, instead of considering infinitely many conditions such that K commutes with the Virasoro, infinitely many because the Virasoro is infinitely dimensional, we can consider just one condition that the modified charge commutes with the first Faulmeier charge. And the Virasoro constraints will follow. And why they will follow? Well, first of all, it is possible to prove the existence and perturbation theory of this F star. such that have stuff hate Confucius because of my charge. It's basically what is going on here is a very general thing. So you have a Hamiltonian on the phase space, which in first approximation, if you go to this, if you are near in the vicinity of the moon surfaces, this Hamiltonian generates periodic projectors. Moon surface generates periodic projectors. Then it turns out that it's a general thing in classical mechanics that you can consider by, you can construct by perturbation theory. So you want charge which generates this Hamiltonian thing. And it acts the same way as the Hamiltonian on the moon surface, on the bottom. So what was important here is that the Hamiltonian was periodic on the space of dimension 1 of the phase space. And now this U1 is unique. So this U1 is constructed in perturbation theory, and it's a unique construction. So if we did not commute, if this U1 did not commute with Virasoro, it would be able to conjugate it with Virasoro, because Virasoro commutes this U1 and obtain the other charge, but the charge is unique, so it can prove it in several ways. But it's amazing that instead of computing something that should compute with the Virasoro charges, we should just require computation with U1, and then the Virasoro charges would fall. Now, there is a procedure, so Q1 on the book surface, Q1 is the same as our K, but then there are corrections which can be organized in powers of 1 over the momentum. And then there is a standard procedure described, for example, in the paper of Kuczynski and Tate, and which allows to basically do such a canonical transformation which removes, which makes this Q1, Q2, etc. computing this K. So the canonically transformed K will compute this Q1. So I don't want to discuss this procedure, but it's a general thing in classical mechanics. And it is possible, more or less, to prove this perturbation theory that the charge which can start to stay will compute this Virasoro space also. So this shows that this perturbation theory, this charge exists. But in fact, to construct it, I don't really need this perturbation theory. It was just an argument for its existence. And we will construct it using the higher Balmer charge step. So remember, in the special case when S is a sphere, there is an infinite tower of the higher sort of charges. For example, there is a charge Q2, which is also computed with the Virasoro generator. You can see it's manifest there, reparametrization there. It has now sort of chiral power, this charge will be conserved if F is a sphere because of the special form of the curve. It's important when you verify conservation, you have to compute the higher derivatives, the plus with the minus. Mm-hmm. And to verify this conservation, you need to remember that the Riemann tensor on S has a special structure for the there is a full power of these charges. This is a part of the general story about integrable systems. Remember what was the case in the classical mechanics of finite degrees of freedom. Suppose that the phase space had two n dimensions. And suppose that there were n integrals of motion. So the n functions, f1, fn, which were in evolution with each other and with the Hamiltonian. Then there was a theorem. And the level set was supposed to be proper. And there was a theorem which is not very hard, but nevertheless quite non-trivial. It's a Liouville's theorem, which says that there are n action variables, which are some combinations, some functions, depending on f1 and f. But each of these i's then generates a u1. So these i's are globally defined on the phase space, and they all generate u1. So the geometrical picture is that the level set of the one at n is a torus, and the action variable generates rotations with the cycles of the torus. It's called action variables. There is a Liouville's theory which is proven in the textbook of classical mechanics. Now, string theory is an infinite dimensional variable system. Therefore, the geometric intuition won't be directly applicable. But still, there is an infinite power of historic charges. It's an infinite power of Ballmeyer charges in evolution with each other. And we can ask ourselves the question, can we find combinations of the Palmyra chapters generating periodic projectors? And that would be an interdimensional analog of function variables. Well, Q1 is already a clause. It generates periodic trajectories on the mouth for the good surface. But then, on the fast moving things, the trajectories of Q1 are not closed. The deviation is of order 1 over the momentum of the string. But we want to modify Q by adding higher charges. So that the modifier charge, if we add higher and higher charges, and the more and more charges you add, the less and less becomes deviation from periodicity when you go over near the moon surface. It is certainly possible that the first order in 1 over Qp is momentum of the sphere. Consider the following linear combination of the first two Palmyra chapters. Q1 is that one which is defined for the direct product, and Q2 is the first one field of 1. So, this particular linear combination, the leading term, remember that the loop surface limit is when P is both to infinity. So, this leading term is our friend K. It's a charge which is necessarily periodic, but not commuted with the Rossor constraint. But since this guy is commuted with the Rossor constraint, the full expression is guaranteed to commute with the Rossor constraint. But on the other hand, if you look at the periodic trajectories of this part, then the second part averages to zero on the periodic trajectories of the leading part. So since it averages to zero on the periodic trajectories, it does not lead to drift of periodic trajectories with the order 1 over p. And so the deviation of the periodicity of this combination would be already 1 over 3q. So we want to conjecture that it's possible to add higher Palmyra charges so that the resulting charge will generate periodic trajectories to all orders in 1 over p. And so the resulting charge is coincides with the generator of U1L, which we described in the coverage on theory already, going under some construction, but it's coincide. This. And in other words, the classical string theory on the ABS process sphere has an action variable which is local at each order of perturbation theory around the surface. It's local because these Qs are all local. So higher Qs contain more and more derivatives, but to each order in perturbation theory, if you want to ensure periodicity, you can then just finitely many of them. So that it's already periodic to this particular order. So there is a local action variable. There exists a local action variable, local to in perturbation theory. Now I will be able to fix the coefficients to all orders. But let me first say that there is a work of Arutunov, Stugacher, and Enfield, who computed Palmyra charges for rigid strings. Those examples which I started my work with, the rigid strings of Frolov and Zeta. So, since there is an explicit expression for the solutions of the rigid strings, which I wrote on the first transparency, Arutunov, Stugacher, and Enfield were able to evaluate all the Palmyra charges on particular solution, and they found an expression of this type. J is this Palmyra chart, this rigid solution subparametrized by the order of momentum, which I denote J. So this curly J is J over square root of lambda, and they found that all the Palmyra charges that have an expansion to the power of 1 over J. And the coefficients, epsilon 1, epsilon 2, epsilon 3, would depend on particular rigid solution. These are simply subparametrized by modeling, because remember, there is a solution of Neumann's integrable system, it was parameterized by sort of numbers, real numbers. So this epsilon would be some elliptic functions of this modeling. So it's a complicated elliptic function, but there is a relation. They notice that the coefficients are not independent, and for all solutions they consider, there are many times to be explained, they all consider it, they find that, for example, to this order, the order 1 over j to the 9th, there is this relation between j and the Palmyra charts. So j is certainly one momentum there. So this means that up to the terms of the order 1 over p9, we should have that j over square root of lambda is given by this particular combination. Well, at first this formula looks rather strange, because it seems to imply that a certain combination of Almeyer charges, which all come due to this SL6, is equal to some component of the angular momentum, which transforms into an adjoint of SL6. But we propose the following resolution. We propose that the right-hand side is actually the action variable, which for a particular class of the solutions happens to be equal to the SL6 charge. And this is because these particular solutions correspond to the chiral operator on the field theory set. And for chiral operator, the engineering dimension, these operators are not protected, but the engineering dimension of them, or the layer, is the same as one particular combination of U1 charges. So it's no surprise that there is a class solution of solutions corresponding with chiral operators for which some SO6 charge J would coincide with our action variable. In other words, the general formula should be not that J is equal to this, but that the action variable is equal to this combination of domain charges. And you can verify this thing in the DMN limit. The DMN limit is, strings have DMN limit. It's when the shape of the string is sensitive to the localized means the equator of the string. In this limit, the theory on the logic becomes the three masses theory. This is Hamiltonian. So X is a plane wave coordinates coming from the ATS, and Y are those which coming from the sphere. And so the Hamiltonian is Hamiltonian of three masses theory. It plus like the roles of the masses, so the combination of the well, there is a constraint, because constraint for the register is minus. Now, let us for a second think of quantum plane wave theory. In quantum plane wave theory, the states will be constructed by acting on the vacuum by the oscillators, which may define the standard state. Let us define the DMN length of the state as the total number of the theta oscillators. Theta oscillators is of course twice instead of the sphere part of the. For example, the DMN length of this is equal to 3 plus 1. In other words, the DMN length is the total number of stages in the state. I describe it quantum mechanically, but in classical theory, you can also define this thing. You can write it through an action variable, which has a strange expression, which if you derive it in oscillators, you get some of beta beta bars. It's the total number of oscillators. It looks non-local, but If you can expand it in powers of P plus, then you will get local expressions. And it generates V1 symmetry verify that. So it's an action variable in the plane wave limit. It's an action variable, it's a special action variable, because there are many action variables, but this one you can do the following thing with it. You can inverse expand in the inverse powers of P plus. Let us do it. Here's this. You'll get the sum of sort of expressions ik plus 1, where ik plus 1 are the higher local conserved charges of the three masses theory. So the simplest charge is the energy, but there are higher local conserved charges because it's the three masses theory, so there are many charges containing higher derivatives. They are all local. The number of derivatives is 2k. Q is coordinate, Q is momentum conjugate to y, so Q is dy. Dy will be d. And in the oscillator language, this local charges will be like this. So you see that the action variable, which was non-local, involved the square root of the differential operator, but it's a regular expansion of local charges. This is the Penrose limit of our Arrhenius formula, and of course, what I did, I recently used the definition of the Almeyer charges, which is related to so-called Bacon transformation. So if you apply the Bacon transformation, so there is a closed expression for generating function in terms of this Bacon transformation so-called. And if you apply it in the plane wave limit, you get, you can see that what happens is that this Almeyer charges, the DMN limit, become particular combinations of this three of this local transform charges of this theory. And since I did it, I know the particular coefficients. And each polynomial attractive, you count each mass, each transfer charges of the mass accelerator, and this allows me to fix the coefficients of the polynomial charges. There is some redefinition of Arcturus Dirac exploding improved charges, but the linear combinations in case of polynomial charges. So considering the BMS limit allows us to fix the coefficients with the expansion of the action variable with this local conserved charge. So this expression should be valid for just the framework input everywhere. So I think that
what we need to start with the unit is
so like if I try to fire for me.
Sure.
Okay. So I found the action variable, which was local to each quadrant perturbation theory. And I argued that it is identified as a fast variable of the spin. If you divide by it, you will get the spin shape. But one immediate application of this formula is actually expression for anomalous dimension of that variable. So given the classical spin hold shape, you can compute the anomalous dimension of this forming field variable. Oh, the anomalous dimension is usually defined as the deformation of the particular generator of the conformal algebra, right? The dilatation of the variable. But I don't think it's a bad definition. I think the best definition is that defines the anomalous dimension of the deformation of the representation of the algebra rather than the deformation of the particular element of the algebra. So it is natural to characterize the deformation of the representation by how the center of the group acts. The superconformal group has a center. It's not, it has an integral center. Therefore, we will define the anomalous dimensions for the action of the center of the conformal group. And this definition would be manifest if a formula invariant at one group will coincide with the whole Gaussian definition. So what is the center? You know that because of the dimensions of integers, the superconformal group is not just PSU, but actually it's universal, it's a covering group of PSU. So PSU itself, naively defined as a group of supertwinitary matrix, it has a non-trivial loop set. So we have to unwind those loops to get the covering space. So if C denotes the generator of the center of the covering group, we can describe it in the following way. Consider the conformal field theory on R process 3, where R is the type and the radius of the C is 1. Let C denote the type, the coordinate on R, and N denote the unit vector in C. Then the center acts as the combination of the conformal transformation, shift of C by pi, and reflection of N, with the RC, so the element of C4. This transformation commutes with the generators of SO2-4, and therefore it's in the center of the conformal group, but it also commutes with the fermionic generators, so it's in the center of the SU. There is a simple, it's easier to consider it as a square. The square is even simpler, it's just an act by translation, time equal to pi radius of SU, minus 1 is the minus. So this translation, this cylinder has this complicated conformal move, but this translation by the integer number of 2 pi's would commute with all the elements of the conformal group, so it's in the center. In the free theory, the action of the center is trivial because all the operators have integer energy, all the states have integer energy, so the translation of 2 pi times integer would be trivial, wouldn't act. But in the interacting theory, this is an integral operator, and it's logarithm I would suggest to call the anomalous dimension. And of course, we can expand more in terms of the is it hooked up? What is it on the string theory side? On the string theory side, of course, it's super simple with this that ADS is the universal covering of the hyperparabolic, and so this generator of the center acts as a vector transformation, exchanging the sheets of the universal pattern. we can visualize it in the following way. So let us think instead of ideas, let us think of it as a hyperboloid. So, and then in the hyperboloid, the string would wind around the hyperboloid. So it would be infinitely many shapes, and the string will move in time. It will find it, find it, find it, so it will be many, many shapes. So the string locally looks like a deck of cards. But going around the non-contractible loop in ideas, it exchanges the shape. So it's called the depth of something. It's just going from sheet number n to sheet number n plus 1. This is how the center acts on the phase space of the classical space. But now I would like to argue that this action, this deck transformation can be expressed again as conserved charges. Indeed, we have seen that the conserved charges coming to the land. It's a linear combination of the Balmer charges. This is an action variable, which I already discussed. Here, epsilon are Balmer charges coming from the sphere. So I'm just remembering what I said before. There is a certain combination of Balmer charges with the sphere, which is periodic. It generates periodic projectors. But the classical sphere also has charges coming from ADS 5. Also Balmer charges. ADS is just an analytic continuation of the sphere research. So it also has these Balmer charges. It's also integrable. And we consider those charges in ADS 5. Just the same charges but different signature. So what if you form the same expression? But instead of Balmer charges on the sphere, plot here the conserved charges, the Balmer charges in ADS. What will happen? What will happen is that if we think of the hyperboloid, then the combination will again generate periodic projectors. But in fact, the ideal space is a covering of the hyperboloid. So if it goes with a covering, it will just generate a deck transformation, changing the sheet. So this means that if we introduce M, which is the same combination of all the charges of PDS, then e to the power minus 2 by M access the transformation rather than being periodic. So that's what we need. We need to take logarithms. But one thing is that instead of considering e to the power minus 2 by M, we perhaps want to write e to the 2 by N minus M. So action variable on the sphere minus non-compact action variable of hyperboloid, because it's a single start with power square root of lambda, because the epsilon 2 would cancel because it's a transformer state. So we will get the expansion for the generator of the depth transformation or the anomalous dimension, the power of the cutback constant. It looks like square root of lambda, but actually for fast logic streams, this thing will behave like square root of lambda over A. Start with lambda over A, etc. This expansion in interval is the power of lambda over A squared. So what it is. It is the expansion which one could try to relate to this field theory expansion for some more dimension. We know how to Balmer charges correspond to. And what Balmer charges correspond to, they will of course correspond to Casimir's of Young, which were considered recently by the Casimir's of Youngians, they are correspond to traces of the monogamy matrix. We should say the super trace, the Bosonic part of the super trace consists of spheres that has cost 6 part and also 2-4 part. The plus minus 7 is the super trace. We have identified the good status type of the Casimir's of Youngians. So, in the vector, but if you stop here, but so as a conclusion, I want to say that we found some what kind of structure we need to. So, what do we have to do to relate classical string in ADS space to a string shape equation? The answer is we have to consider Hamiltonian reduction by efficiency, which can explicitly find.